No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets' second victory in the last 24 hours. This one, a very tidy 3-1 victory over their Central Division rival, the Chicago Blackhawks. The Jets make it 2-for-2 on this trip, on this quick trip through the Central Division, doubling down after last night's victory over St. Louis, matching it again with tonight's victory over the Chicago Blackhawks. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Friday night. Nice to hope you both are having a TGIF worthy day. The Jets obviously having it as well. Dave M rocking the Betway, Ezzy rocking a Whalers t-shirt. My wife just came back from Quebec City earlier tonight. She brought me this toque. That's why I'm repping a little bit of the Nordiques action tonight, because I don't think any of us are going to be wearing Blackhawks gear anytime soon. I mean, well, you might not wear Blackhawks gear anyways, but certainly the way they've been performing on the ice lately, you wouldn't necessarily want to proudly rep that logo right now at all.
No, it's nostalgia for me and you, Drew, and it's definitely not nostalgia if, you know, you're thinking this is the 2015 Chicago Blackhawks that won the Stanley Cup. Like this, like let's start off with this. When was the last time the Jets lost to the Blackhawks? Like, it feels like they haven't lost to the Blackhawks since the Scott Foster game.
I was going to say Scott Foster.
Right? Like, it just seems like the Jets just completely own the Blackhawks. But, you know, this team is really, really bad. And, you know, luckily the Jets get to play the Hawks again. I believe that game's at home, right?
In February.
Yeah. So, I mean, lucky for the Jets, unlucky for everybody who has to watch that game. But I mean, look at the Jets, you know, considering that, you know, Logan, like, we'll get into there was a lot going on in this game, right? Like, it wasn't a high event game or anything like that, boys, but, you know, just terrible. Like, we got to start off with that, just terrible luck or whatever you want to call it for Logan Stanley. And the fact that Stanley came back into the game, like, let's give him a lot of credit here. Like, just for even if he didn't, I forget if it was one shift, guys, or if it was a couple. I thought it was one shift, right? Yeah, it was one shift.
But try it out.
I mean, that's courageous, right? And, like, you know, forget all the cliches about, you know, hockey players playing with broken ribs and everything like that. Like, it's just unfortunate that, you know, he sits out that long with a foot injury, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly what it is that, you know, well, it has something to do with that, you know, the right leg. I believe it was the right leg, if I'm not mistaken. So just awful that, was it left or was it right? It was right. Okay, Dave's giving me the thumbs up.
But I'm not sure if it's
right. It's either the left or the right, unless he's got three legs,
left.
Right?
It was left.
Yeah, so like the Jets only had five defensemen and Chicago couldn't take advantage. And you can say that, you know, the Blackhawks made it interesting, you know, with Taylor Radish's goal. But come on, guys, the Jets were in complete control of this game. Like, nobody thought that the Blackhawks were going to take over this game at any point. So give them a little bit of credit here. But, you know, that last power play that they had, the Blackhawks I'm talking about, it was as if, like, they had never been on the power play before. And somehow the Blackhawks power play heading into this game was ranked 11th in the NHL. And, yes, I realize they've still got Patrick Kane, and they've got some other talented players, but that did not look like the 11th best power play in the NHL to me. I don't know if anybody else disagrees with that, you know, in the chat, but give the Jets a lot of credit, though. Like, you know, I really liked, obviously, Scheifele, Wheeler, and Perfetti's game. Scheifele was incredible tonight. You know, like Sam Gagne stepping in for Saku Manilainen, and just overall, the Jets defense coming together and, you know, persevering in the second game of a back-to-back with Stanley out of the lineup. So, even though the Blackhawks are terrible, and I'm sure I'm going to mention that several times throughout this broadcast, got to give the Jets credit for persevering through a little bit of adversity and picking up clean 2 points in the second game of back-to-back.
Yeah, you know, look, Chicago's terrible. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it. You can't find, I mean, you know, you can find other synonyms for terrible, awful, horrendous, mind-numbing, eye-gouging.
I would say joke, Drew, but that would be an insult to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
There you go. Exactly right. I mean, they're a terrible team. But I do want to give the Jets a fair bit of credit here, Dave, for you know, persevering and still being the better of the two teams, you know, later in this game. You know, when Chicago made it the 2-1 game, you know, with Taylor Radish's goal in the second period there, look, the Jets are down to five defensemen at this point in time. They are playing on the second half of a back-to-back, and I know they're playing against a terrible team. But the fact that they were still able to control the pace of play by and large for the final 30 minutes of the game, when, I mean, I was sort of expecting Chicago was going to find some jump and find some energy and find another gear, you know, to get even closer in the game, maybe tie it up. Who knows what was going to happen? It's a one goal game at that point. And the Jets, particularly in that third period, just said, we're the better team. We're going to impose our will on you, and we are going to, you know, from David Rittich through all the forwards and the five defensemen, we're going to control the pace of play in this sort of in this scenario with some adversity, with only 5D, despite being tired, two games in 24 hours. To me, that is an impressive aspect of tonight's win. You're supposed to beat the Blackhawks, no question. But to do it in the way that they did it, with that extra additional guy out of your lineup, to me was pretty impressive.
Well, and remember, the Jets were supposed to beat a lot of teams last year, and they didn't. And this absolutely. these are the kind of games that the Jets would absolutely have lost last season. And you would use you'd hear justified. Well, you know, it was we played 3 and 4, back to back
time zones,
and travel, and blah blah blah. But the reality was that the Jets, you know. I mean, you're right. Ezzie's 100% right. The Chicago Blackhawks are not a good team. And it was at times a hard game to watch. I was having fun in the chat. By the way, the chat and I, they can attest, Ezzie didn't believe me when I said I predicted 4-1 final for the Jets at the beginning of the game, as not in the middle when it was already 2-1, not at the later stages when it was 3-1. The folks in the chat can attest. I called it a 4-1. Now, I was wrong.
You know, the game 3-1. Ended 3-1, right?
I was just
going right?
to say 3-1. And by the way, I just saw Bailey Weeb. Shout out to Bailey, a loyal IC follower. Yes. She not only did she correctly predict tonight's score, she got a like and a reply from Sarah Orleski.
I know. We talked about that in the first period, it's nice that you bring it up, because now there's a few more folks here than there were then. But look, this is a game that Winnipeg is I didn't think, like, it was funny when Stanley came back. I was like, what's going on here? But you think to yourself, he may have walked it off in the tunnel and he's got the adrenaline still flowing. I really didn't think he was going to come back to start the second. And of course he did for the one shift, and then realized it's not worth testing. And we often see defensemen like that extra ice time. So defensemen generally, I mean, nobody on that team wants Logan Stanley to go down with an injury, but every one of those guys is going to, you know, relish the opportunity to take up the extra minutes and to get some extra. I mean, maybe not in the back-to-back generally, but guys generally will step up and like the opportunity to play with five versus six. So you don't, it's not a hardship for guys like Brandon Dillon and Neil Pionk and Dylan DeMello to be able to do that. But from my perspective, Drew, you're right. I think it was one of those games where you kind of thought, would the Jets fall into a lull? Would they stop trying to impose their will on Chicago in that third period with a lead? And they did the opposite. They did the opposite of what you would expect a team that's, quote, tired after playing a back-to-back. And remember, Chicago, even though they've come into the game story, having lost, like, I think two in a row, but they haven't played since Tuesday, right? So you could say, okay, well, they had a little bit of rust. They were a little, you know, they didn't have their legs going in the first. But there's no excuse when you've had that kind of time off to have that kind of, and guys, like, so many of their guys were passengers in this game. I mean, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, like, Max Domi. I honestly, I don't think I noticed Max Domi until the third period. And it's always interesting to me when we watch these games and you think to yourself, you've watched the whole port, like, and we watch these games, right? We're not like farting around, but like we're watching these games and I'm thinking to myself, I think literally maybe I heard Max Domi's name in the first period, but like first period, maybe one mention, third period, one mention. Like,
no, Taylor Radish was by far their best player. And I think Radish has probably been one of their best players all year long, right?
Yes. Do you think he likes to eat radishes, Ezzie?
Well, yeah, he could be on the all food team, but like, and I know some people might not think this is, relevant or whatever, but also too, like, it's a Friday night, right? Like your fans have already watched a lot of crappy hockey all year long, right? Like you're playing a team, the second game of back to back. And don't get me wrong, I'm not like, it's just like, yeah, it just, it permeates through the entire team when Patrick Kane puts in that type of effort. Like, you know, like, and on the broadcast, they're giving him credit for trying to bank it off of Riddick's head. Then he tried to do it again later in the game. Like, it's like, are you trying to score a goal, Drew? Or is he trying to peg it off of Riddick's head? Like, what's going on here?
I think he was just trying to get maybe goals with a higher degree of difficulty. Like, maybe he's diving and he's going for a very high degree, you know, a triple sow cow, although that's figure skating, but like a double tuck, triple flip sort of kind of goal. Maybe if he scores it off of Riddick's head, it's worth two goals instead of just one. It was bizarre, but look, I do understand it to some extent. I know that, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews have to just be absolutely hating this, but their effort also was not commensurate with a leadership mantle and a leadership title. They were invisible.
They've mailed it in. I'm sorry. This team has mailed it in, and everybody knew that the Hawks were going to be bad before the season started. But what I said to Dave as we were watching this game here is, at least put in, like, if you're a bad team, at least put in an honest effort. Like, give your fans, work your asses off for your fans so they at least are getting their money's worth, right? Like, who left that game feeling really good about being a Blackhawks fan? Like, sure, the Blackhawks are a storied franchise. They've won the 3 Stanley Cups, you know, since, 2009, 2010, when they won their first cup against the Flyers, right? But, like, this team now is, like, it's a shadow of its former self. Like, it's really tough. It's like cringeworthy watching the Blackhawks play hockey.
Do you know how many high danger chances they had in all situations tonight?
Not many.
Keep in mind that it's more than two. But keep in mind that they had it's more than five. It's six. They had multiple power plays tonight. They had the Jets.
By the way, Jets PK again, very good.
Fantastic. The Jets had 18 high danger chances in all situations compared to the Blackhawks. Soderblom was actually good. Yeah, Soderblom was good. If it wasn't for him, it would have been, you know, how many, like, he stopped Morgan Barron and David Gustafson on that. He robbed Mark Scheifele.
Yeah.
I mean, he made multiple pretty, you know, good quality saves. But 18-6 were the high danger chances in all situations. At 5-on-5, so again, a reminder that the vast majority of hockey games are played at 5-on-5. The high danger chances were 13-3. The Blackhawks had 3 high danger chances, one in each period at 5-on-5.
And that's with the Jets down to 5 defensemen in the second game of a back-to-back.
That's right. I mean, look, and I know that they don't have a ton of talent, but you know, even without a ton of talent, on sheer hard work, you can get more than 3 high danger chances. And that just, you know, goes to show just how bad and how disinterested the Blackhawks are.
And you
but
know,
again, I don't want to take away from the impressive aspect of the Jets' performance, because I do think that might get lost in the shuffle here. You know, that, you know, yes, they're playing a terrible team, but they did what they're supposed to do against a terrible team on the second half of back-to-back. David Riddick did everything that the team would ask of him. He made all the saves that, you know, you would expect him to make.
Including
off of his mask. And as Patrick Kane was going for the headshots rather than trying to score goals into the net. But, you know, to me, really, the entire roster deserves credit.
Spencer's 100% right, by the way. We were talking about that last game. Love how Perfetti just does the kind of the no celebration. He just scores and then kind of just skates to the bench.
Yeah, well, I mean, he opened the scoring, and we'll get into that in the Betway game recap here in a minute. But, Dave, I don't think we can gloss over the Jets' performance in tonight's game and just focus on how terrible Chicago is.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, there's been plenty of games before where the Jets have met terrible teams, or they've had excuse, you know, they would lay an egg against a terrible team and they'd have a built-in excuse. And the Jets just absolutely said, we are the better of the two teams. And we're going to win this game. It got to be 2-1. But really, after that, I mean, you know, if Chicago had a high danger chance, it would be one. It would be one at 5-on-5. Happened sometime, you know, in the third period. That's it. And they had power play opportunities too. And they had absolutely nothing as well. So to me, I mean, it's a really impressive performance by the Jets tonight, Dave.
And I think that you got to give credit to the players for being ready. And you got to give credit to the coaching staff, because they aren't allowing these guys to buy in. There's not, you know, I actually really find it refreshing, because again, I'm not to say that Rick Bowness doesn't know all, like, he's a veteran coach. You know, the article in the Sun today was about it, or sorry, in the Free Press by Jeff Hamilton about his 40 years, you know, behind the bench. I mean, the guy is a veteran. So, like, for example, when he gives you non-answers, he's the same as Paul Maurice, same as a lot of coaches. You know, can we get an update on Mike? Yes. I mean, on Mike, on Sacramento Lyman. He's got an upper body injury. Oh, wow. I had no idea, you know? So it's kind of like Logan Stanley. I wonder if it would be probably going to be assessed as a lower body injury. But what I do like is the honesty in the sense that he talks about watching the standings. You know, it doesn't pretend like we're not doing that. We're not. He knows where they are and he's embracing it. He's not saying, well, you know, it's early in the season. You know, we can't worry about that. He goes, no, we want to be in first. We want teams to be chasing us. We want the pressure, but we're also not taking ourselves too seriously and saying, well, plan the parade. Because
he's a straight shooter, right? Like, that's what comes to mind when I think about Bonus. Yeah. He doesn't say what you want to hear.
He's like Ginsburg. He's a straight shooter.
He really is. Like, he's an honest guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell you what you want to hear, as I mentioned. It is refreshing. And I'm not saying Paul Maurice necessarily did that, but
he definitely did that. No, he definitely. And look, all I'm saying is, so to me, he's got the team focused right. He's got the team. And like, look, these guys like it, not having pressure. I mean, I think now that, you know, folks are tuning into the Jets. I mean, the Leafs, it's again, good. I know people don't like talking about the Leafs. I'm just going to mention it for one quick point. The Leafs doing well has the attention of the Eastern media on all things Toronto. They fart. Someone's reporting what it smells like. So, I mean, it's very important stuff over there. It usually smells like roses. Yes, exactly. So the point is, you know, the Jets are going to be happy with everyone focused on Toronto being Canada's team, blah, blah, blah. Because it's funny. We talked about it in the chat earlier. It's like Nate Schmidt said when he was asked at the beginning of the season about, you know, this and this. He said, you know, I think it was Mike McIntyre asked him and he said, perfect. Talking about a lack of pressure on them. And these guys love that because, again, they're not embracing the idea that they are in first place and that they are a good team and that they deserve to be there. And guys, we're 26 games of the season into the season. This is not a two or three small sample size. Well, you know, it's only a few games. We got to be cautiously this or this. This is 26 games. It's no mistake. 18-7-1, 10-2 against the Central.
10-2 against the Central.
They're a good team, Dave. And you can't. And the thing is, you can't say that, as you said, you can't say this is a mirage. You can't say this is only 5 games or 10 games or 15 games. We're almost a third of the way through the season. But you're also not saying that the Jets are going to win the Stanley Cup or win the President's Trophy. You're just saying they're a good team. Like they're a bona fide top 10 team right now. Maybe even top five.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think Aaron, I noticed, you know, people in the chat saying, you know, say it, say the Jets are elite, say the Jets are elite.
Well, Drew, that's just in elite. Bones we trust. In Bones right. we trust. What? No, Ezzy, it's not you and I. They want Drew.
Yeah.
They want Drew to say it.
And they want Drew to say it slowly and maybe even spell it.
Well, look, you're a top 5 team in the league at this quarter mark. The way, you know, do I believe that they are a Stanley Cup contender? I still deep down don't believe it, but right now where they are in the standings, yeah, they're an elite team. You'd be denying what's in front of you,
right?
If you kept saying yes, but, you know, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, I said yes, but they didn't have the requisite number of regulation wins. Regulation wins to me were a concern for this team. Well, since then, all they've done is win, what is it now, 7 of 8? And I think most of those wins have come in regulation. So my yes, but is out the window a little bit. So, you know, I'll say it right now, the way the Jets are playing, the way everything's going for this team, yeah, they are an elite team. Anytime you're 10-2 in your own division and 18-7-1 overall, and top 5 in the league at this point, you have to say that that's what you are. So, you know, full marks to them, full kudos to the Jets for doing what they've done because they deserve the credit. I mean, I think the Athletic came out with a weekly power rankings, and you guys know that, you know, that their, you know, power rankings aren't the be all and end all, but they had the Jets ranked, you know, number 5 or number 4 in the league because, you know, you can't deny what the record is. It's not a mirage anymore.
At number 2, and for those who watch this show regularly, they know I'm a Devils fan. So it's still weird to see the Devils like number 2 or number 3 in those power rankings.
Yeah.
And I think to further your point, Drew, the reason why you can say the Jets are elite 26 games into the season is because you look at the totality, right? Like you look at the penalty kill, you look at the power play, you look at the goals for, the goals against, their possession numbers, the way Hellebuck is playing. Like it's not like the Jets are, this isn't the, you go back to like 2018, 2019, 20 season when the Jets were winning a lot of games solely really because of Hellebuck's goaltending, right? Like that was the big thing with the Jets is they give up too many shots. They rely too much on Hellebuck. They're really more of a, that was like kind of the height of the Connor Scheifele Wheeler. Like they're only getting offense from a couple lines and then you throw in, you know, Ehlers in there as well, obviously. But that was the whole thing with, you know, Lion A, he's not producing enough. He's not good defensively. Like this isn't the Jets from 2 or 3 years ago. I'm also not saying, by the way, that this is the 2017-18 team. Because we've talked about that a lot. With that defense with Buff and Trouba and Ben Sherrod and Tyler Myers, like this team is constructed differently. You have to just, I think, sometimes you have to let go of the past and stop thinking the other shoe's going to drop. And at some point, the Jets are going to revert to last year's team. Well, this isn't last year's team, guys.
Look at the Western Conference. You know, look at the Western Conference. And yes, Colorado is ridiculously banged up. But, you know, there's no guarantee that Colorado is going to get healthy, you know, at the, you know, throughout the course of
the year.
They're
in trouble, Drew. Like, they're in serious trouble because a lot of these injuries are medium to long term, right? Like, Gabe Landeskog's not coming back anytime soon. So the Avalanche, like, I look at the Avalanche, sorry to cut you off. I just feel like a guy like Brock Besser makes a lot of sense for them.
Well, I mean, look, the way they have to make a move at some point. Yeah, the way the Avalanche and, the, you know, because to me, the Avalanche are, of course, the defending Stanley Cup champions. They are the benchmark for elite. At least last year, they certainly were. And if everybody was healthy in Colorado, they probably would be again. But they're not healthy. And there's no guarantee that they're going to get healthy. So you look at the Jets, and well, the Jets aren't fully healthy, obviously. We know that Ehlers is out. We know that Mantalainen's out. Looks like Logan Stanley is going to be out. Tell me why the Jets, you know, tell me why Vegas is elite, but the Jets aren't. Jets have better goaltending. You know, you could say that.
Well, the Jets have better goaltending than every team.
They have better goaltending than anyone. So.
Right. But you could say, you know, if you want to say Vegas is elite, and I don't have a problem listening to that argument. Well,
Rather take the Jets up the middle. I'll tell you that much.
But, you know, and you'd say probably who has the best player that's not a goalie. Well, they have Jack Eichel. He's probably the best of all the players on both teams in my books. But you can't tell me that Vegas is elite and then in the same breath not also give the Jets the credit for being elite. As well, yeah. Then you're just
I would give their defense maybe a slight edge. I don't think it would be a big advantage, but I think Drew, if the Jets and Golden Knights played a series, it would be a long series. I don't think obviously, you know, things can happen and you know, it could be like a Jets Montreal situation from a couple of years ago. Nobody thought the Jets were going to get swept by Montreal after sweeping Edmonton. Like we know every year in the playoffs, surprises happen, but you're absolutely right. Right now, and a lot can change, but with Colorado and all their injury problems, the Central is a mess right now. Like you really, aside from the Jets and the Stars, you have a lot of teams that are just middling, right? And then you have the Blackhawks and the Coyotes at the bottom. The Pacific is obviously pretty wide open as well, except for, you know, Vegas, but you expect Calgary and Edmonton to make the playoffs. You expect LA to make the playoffs, but it's not a guarantee for really any of those teams. And the East, obviously, big surprises with New Jersey. I should mention the Kraken, too, have been a big surprise. But you're right. Like nobody is saying, like, nobody's going to put the Jets in that Stanley Cup contender, you know, with Tampa Bay or whoever else you want to put in there yet. But I think you have to really start giving them a little bit more credit as a top five, whatever, top six team in the league right now.
Let me just jump in quick. I was going to say, it's a crazy stat. Jets picked up their 18th win in game 26. Last year they did it in game 41. Wow. Like, I mean, that is a remarkable stat.
And that's what I'm saying, Dave. Like, you can't, I don't think a lot of, like, I'm not saying obviously, you know, people watching right now or anything like that. I just think more so outside of Winnipeg, I think there's still this kind of idea that, you know, the other shoe's going to drop and the Jets really aren't for real. But again, like, at one point, if they're not for real after 26 games, are they for real after 36 games or 46 games?
No, like, the Jets, Ezzy, it's clear. This is a Jets team that is for real. I mean, like, let's just call it what it is. You've got the best goaltender. I don't care what anybody says right now. He is the best goaltender in the NHL. Sorry, Connor Hellebuyck, number one. Yeah. You've got a defense in Josh Morrissey that is working. And, you know, it's a hardworking defense and you can fill in the gaps with guys like, you know, Dylan Sandberg or whomever they need to kind of tread more than tread water. and your forwards are producing. And like I said, I feel like, I don't know when the last time I said it, because it feels like we've been on 300 shows, but the truth is you're getting production from everyone. Pierre-Luc Dubois is producing. Mark Scheifele's producing. Blake Wheeler, guys, rumors of his demise, greatly exaggerated. He's got 25 points in 26 games. You've got Cole Perfetti. He's second in the rookie race right now behind Matty Beniers. So, like, there's a lot of – and then what are you getting secondary? Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry, guys, on pace for 50 points. His career high is, like, 29. So, I mean, Adam Lowry is on pace to have a career year. So, you're getting
– he's Mr. Consistency. Like, he just
– yeah, but as he's consistent, but now he's producing. And that's what right. have we all, yeah. what have we said about Adam Lowry and the third line? We've said it for a long time. The third line, he's a great defensive forward. But you can't be just a great defensive forward. You need to be able to produce as a third line center. Adam Lowry now is producing as a third line center, huge for the Winnipeg Jets. And they have a third line that can produce, like Jansen Harkins. Again, I've said this before, with opportunity. Mikey Essiemont. I mean, what a pest he is. But I mean, he's exactly what the Jets need. He's the kind of guy, he's a shot disturber, as some, you know, I'm sure Alan L will like that one.
Not cool what Jack Johnson was doing, by the way. Like,
But to be honest with you, that's exactly what Mikey Essiemont does. If you watched him play, if you watched him in the Moose, he drives guys crazy. He's in there after a goal or after a whistle, gives the guy a little shot to the knee, gives him not like a two-hander, but just a little touch. And I'm telling you,
and he's not cheap, right? Like he's not like a Brendan Lemieux type of pest.
No. He's kind of like Tanev. You know, he doesn't have necessarily the same wheels as Brandon Tanev, but he's kind of Tanev. Like, you know, he gets in there, he mucks it up. He's not afraid, has no fear. And he just drives guys crazy. Did it last night. We saw it in St. Louis. We saw it again today in Chicago. And what happened? What was the result? 4-minute penalty, power play for the Jets. Yeah, so, I mean,
he's the kind of
guy. Well, and I said this before. He's 23 isn't going anywhere. Like, 23 is going nowhere. He's cementing himself a spot on this roster because of what he brings to the team. And I mean,
I agree with that. I think when a guy like Mason Appleton comes back, Dave, I think there's a real good chance that Essiemont stays up. And I saw a few people talking about Dom Toninato. And obviously, you know, Dom Toninato is a professional, good guy, well-liked guy. Like, we had him on the show roughly a year ago, year and a half ago. Nobody wants to see Toninato, like, be in the AHL over the NHL. That's not what we're saying. But right now, Mikey Essiemont has passed him on the depth chart. I think we'd all agree with that, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Look, everything's going well for the Winnipeg Jets right now. Injuries may be a little bit of a concern, obviously. Manalainen last night, Stanley tonight. We'll see what comes of them. Jets are off tomorrow. So, of course, we'll next hear Sunday before they face the Washington Capitals. Might be some more lineup juggling, and we'll, of course, bring it all to you on
the Axel Johnson-Fialbi revenge game, Drew.
Yes, exactly. The revenge game is going to be significant. And Scott Arneil. Undoubtedly, and Scott Arneil. I'm not sure if it's revenge or it's just games against previous teams that they were involved with.
It's just NHL regular season game 27 for the Jets.
I'd like to make one observation before we actually start the Betway game recap. We're half an hour into the show, and we are now starting the Betway game recap. So, I mean, I guess we have nothing to talk about tomorrow on Saturday's show, but which is in like, you know, 11 hours.
Ten hours, Dave. We'll do exactly. Well, let's get into the Betway game recap. It's brought to you, of course, by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Dave wearing the Betway hoodie tonight. They're, of course, the sponsor of the Illegal Curve postgame show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Winnipeg Jets open the scoring at the 15:21 mark of the first period. It's Cole Perfetti, his sixth of the season. An assist goes to who else? Josh Morrissey. We're up to 24 assists at this point in the game for Josh Morrissey. That number is going to increase. It's just a really good play by Morrissey, pinching at the blue line and stealing the puck from Kurashev. And I think Kurashev didn't even know what happened. And then Morrissey had the puck on his stick at that point in time. He feeds Perfetti. Perfetti with a very nifty sidestep on Ian Mitchell to get some time and space. And he wires the puck past Soderblom to give the Jets the 1-0 lead about three quarters of the way through the first period, Ezzy.
Yeah. And you teed it up beautifully for me there, Drew. And like, first off, you could look at this a few ways, right? Like with Pavel Kurashev, I agree with you. It seemed like that was an easy clear for him, right?
Yeah.
And you could look at it like Morrissey, you know, that's a little bit risky. He stands him up like that. But when you're playing at that, and I will use the elite word for Josh Morrissey, I think elite probably doesn't do him. Like, it's almost absurd at this point, guys, what Morrissey is doing. Maybe not absurd, you know, like I'm joking, obviously. But, you know, every game, it's an assist, it's a goal, it's a couple assists, it's a goal and an assist, right? Like, Dave has been documenting this. Dave is the IC historian, and he's been documenting this because, I mean, he is going to absolutely shatter his personal bests. Like, he can easily finish with 85 on to 95 Sunday,
he might
points.
Shatter them.
No, it's crazy. But the thing is, it's not like he's getting garbage assists. Like, Morrissey is looking like a top 20 defenseman. We said this a few weeks back. Like, he is in the Norris conversation right now. Like, and again, it's only, you know, 25, 26 games into the season. But, you know, that's where he's at right now. And I love the fact that he takes the puck away from Kershev. But Kershev, you know, I said this to Dave, like, Kershev doesn't even, like, try to get back into the play.
No,
and
he gives up on the
play. You know, like, gave up on it. And that's kind of emblematic of this Hawks team. You give the puck up, and then you kind of don't even really bother to make a play on Perfetti, right? So just a beautiful goal by Perfetti, great setup by Morrissey, and yeah, like this was, you know, just a goal scorer's goal. He just hesitated a little bit, waited, Soderblom out, and yeah, Perfetti remains red hot.
Yeah, Perfetti remains red hot, and you can see the confidence is building as we've talked about on many post game shows. The confidence, you know, just to be able to take the time and realize that what you can do, but it's by that simple little sidestep on Ian Mitchell there. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a fancy play. It's not a highlight reel play. It's just a play of a player who now is understanding sort of the game at the NHL level is slowing down, and he knows what he can do, and he knows who he can do it against. And Mitchell was just like, what happened? And then the puck's in the back of the net. It just goes to show that how, you know, Cole Perfetti, and Dave mentioned it before, now second overall in rookie scoring, how he's just sort of growing into the role and growing into his position as one of the, you know, a key member of the Jets top six, Dave.
Well, you know, the one thing about Cole Perfetti that is worth noting is that he takes a bit of time to acclimatize to his surroundings. And I say that with respect, because the reality is, and I've said this before on our show, whether it's the post-game show or the hockey show. But the truth is, at the AHL, when he first came in, you know, as a 18-year-old kid who looked like he was about 100 pounds, the reality for Cole Perfetti was his points were all perimeter points. He didn't go to the interior, didn't go to any of the dirty areas. And I'm not saying he was afraid, but the reality is there is the AHL is, you're not playing in junior anymore.
No.
You're playing against men.
Big boys.
You're playing against the big boys, and they're going to make you pay. And they're not going to, like, you know, it's funny because we talked about the Bufflin fishing podcast, and he didn't really talk about hockey much. If, by the way, if you want to see it, it's on Allele Curve. I succumbed to the pressure of Vezzy and Drew. So it is on the website today. So you can go to AlleleCurve.com. Obviously, after we're done, you can listen to that. You want to hear from number 33. But the one thing he talked about was like going up against Chris Pronger and how much he hated it because Pronger was such a freaking monster. And I remember once I was in Detroit. I was at a Red Wings game against the Red Wings Flyers. I was covering it actually for Allele Curve in 2008, I think. And I remember I'd gone downstairs to the Red Wings room and we'd done media and I was leaving the room. By the way, Gordie Howe, I actually talked to Gordie Howe in the stairwell. This is another little sidebar, but
I love this story.
I was walking down the story. So the Red Wings, it was a preseason game. The Red Wings were just getting ready to go to Sweden to play in Sweden. And I was sitting beside a Swedish journalist and we were just chatting the whole time. And then we went downstairs together to the room. It's the first time I had gone down to the Red Wings room. So I'm walking down the stairwell and I have no idea where I'm going. Just, you know, and there's basically two ways to go. And I'm like, so he looks at me, he's like, which door? Because sometimes when you walk out a door, you're shit out of luck. You're stuck. We actually once had that happen with Kevin Cheveldayoff, where it was like his nightmare. He was stuck in the stairwell with all the media guys. So, so the Swedish guy's looking at me. I'm like, I have no idea. So we kind of wait for people behind us, and I'm like, all of a sudden I feel a tap on my shoulder, and it's like, young fella, you don't want to go through that door, it's that one. And it was like Gordie Howe. I was like, that's amazing, Mr. Hockey. So that was kind of cool, but lost my train of thought. I got so excited about telling the Gordie Howe story that yada yada.
I just love, like, there's just such a romantic element of that story, right? Like, it's Gordie Howe, it's Mr. Hockey, right? Like, it's just there's just something, you know. I feel like any, you know, like I remember after Gordie Howe passed away, like I mentioned, like I went with my dad and my sister to when it was Max Bell Arena and he was signing autographs at a Bisons game, right? And I have a picture of Gordie Howe and my sister and I think I was like 7 and my sister was 9. Like that, because that it's Gordie Howe, like you don't, there is no, nobody's above Gordie Howe when it comes to hockey royalty, like even Wayne Gretzky, who we know idolized Gordie Howe, right? So you can tell that story as many times as you want, as far as I'm concerned, Dave.
Well, as you've heard that story a lot of times. Anyways, but thankfully, Alan L. brought me back to my original point, which was Pronger, because when Pronger was coming out of the Flyers room, I'm not joking, I thought I was seeing a monster. I've never seen someone that big. And to hear Dustin Byfuglien, who, as we all know, wasn't a small guy, talk about having to hated going up against Chris Pronger and what a beast he was to go up against. So let me circle back now to my original point, which was Cole Perfetti. And Cole Perfetti, when he started in the AHL with the Manitoba Moose, didn't go into the interior. And then one game at the Iceplex, and as he has talked about, I was pretty much the only media person in the entire city that watched those games. I felt like they were playing him. In fact, there were no fans, so I felt like they were playing him for me. It was kind of nice. But the reality was there was one game, I don't remember who against, but one game where Perfetti cut to the middle. And I remember talking about it with Pascal Vincent after, and you could just see the light bulb went off and he could start to get it. And he started to go to the interior again in the AHL. And I think that's what we're seeing here now with Cole Perfetti in the NHL, is that he's getting it. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect with him, but I think it's slowing down. He's maybe speeding up. And I think he's got that confidence right now. And again, I think Scheifele and Wheeler are a perfect complementary type of player to be playing with Cole Perfetti. I said that, I think even before the season began, I said, I like the idea of Mark Scheifele, Cole Perfetti learning from Mark Scheifele, especially with the way Scheifele's playing this year. So that's just a perfect
young and the restless, Dave.
There you go. But anyways, I see the Cole Perfetti that we saw in the AHL slowly coming into the NHL. And look, he's already got 6 goals. So that's it's a huge thing for him. And you can just see the confidence in, like you said, Drew, the ability to wait, know when to drop it and then to fire. Nicely done by the 2020 10th overall pick.
It certainly was. The Jets make it 2-0 shortly into the start of the second period, 56 seconds in, with Jack Johnson in the box after going cuckoo banana puffs against Mikey Asamont late in the first period. The penalty carries over to the second, and Blake Wheeler gets his 9th of the season. Assist again to Josh Morrissey. That's 2 assists on the game from Josh Morrissey already, and Kyle Connor. And it's just a very good, we've talked about the power play. We talked about it yesterday. A lot of movement in the power play, and you saw it again here on this power play. A lot of movement. Eventually the puck comes to Morrissey up at the point at the top of the blue line, right in the middle, and you know it's a shot that's designed for the tip from Wheeler's in front, causing havoc. I mean, he's still a big boy. You don't necessarily see him in the dirty areas as much, or don't expect to see him there, but you're seeing with the movement new guys are getting into that spot, and Wheeler gets his stick on the Morrissey shot, and it's 2-0 for the Jets mere seconds into the second period, Ezzy.
Yeah, and you got to love, sometimes when you see the goal live, you don't know if it was deflected. Everybody knew it was deflected by Wheeler the way he celebrated, right?
Mm-hmm,
considering everything Wheeler's gone through, and he's been criticized a lot. We've criticized him. He's been criticized by Jets fans and the whole, removing the C and everything like that. Like, he's a point per game right now. Like, he is playing really well. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a couple shifts here, a couple shifts there. He's working his butt off, whether he's on the PK, power play, whatever. But you're right. The movement was really good. Dubois drew 2 Blackhawks to him. I thought the Blackhawks were running around a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's the classic kind of, traffic in front, layers, as they say, right? And just a beautiful tip. And we know Morrissey, not only is Morrissey, having just a great overall year, we know Morrissey and Pionk actually are both kind of masters at getting those low shots and giving, guys like Wheeler and Dubois, whoever, could be Scheifele tipping pucks. So that to me is just like a power play. What is it? 7 games in a row now, 8 games in a row, they've scored a goal. It's just, they're just firing on all cylinders. They're just executing. Like, they are just, I look at the Jets right now and throw out all the cliches and everything like that. I just think they're a really confident team, and you're seeing that, right? Like they're going into, they don't care who they're playing right now, and they think they can win. Second game of back-to-back doesn't matter. Playing Colorado doesn't matter. Playing Carolina doesn't matter. But if you're playing Columbus, that matters. No, I'm joking. I mean, with the I can't believe, that was a week ago, but that was a horrible game. Don't want to revisit that. But, the power play right now, it's just fun to watch because, there's so much skill, and you expect them to score at least one power play goal a game if they get a power play opportunity, obviously.
Obviously, yes, but you know they said everything is clicking on all cylinders for the Jets. The Blackhawks cut the lead in half. It's at the 11:04 mark of the second period, and this is where I'm getting to think, okay, you know, now the Jets are down to 5D for a while now. Maybe the legs are getting a little bit heavier. The exhaustion is setting in. Any adrenaline that sort of started the game is maybe beginning to wear off. Taylor Radish gets his eighth, and I thought he was the best Blackhawks player on the ice tonight. Certainly among the forwards, he was noticeable. He was putting out an honest effort. And he gets rewarded his eighth of the year, assist to Kurashev. And it's a bit of an ugly goal. Axel Janssen-Fialbi tries to sort of kick at the puck after Kurashev just sort of throws it towards the front of the net from the blue line. This doesn't appear as though it's going to be dangerous, but Janssen-Fialbi misses on the soccer style kick, and it sort of just bounces onto the stick of Radish, or he gets there first and he wires it past David Rittich, Dave.
Yeah, Poppy got a little sloppy on this one. And, it's one of those situations where Axel Janssen-Fialbi thought he could kick it to himself and settle it down sufficiently. And of course, you don't. And it's a problem when you're in front of your net and the pocket gets picked. And next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. And that's always the question mark with right, Drew, is that, you know, you give up a goal, you're feeling good about yourself at 2-0. Mm-hmm. And suddenly now it's 2-1. And you're thinking, okay, how do the Jets react to this sort of adversity? Because as you said, it wasn't like they were being pummeled in any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, Chicago maybe could gain some life. You would think Chicago can gain from this and the Winnipeg Jets could deflate a little bit, right? They're tired, blah, blah, blah. 3-4, I think. I can't remember. I think we've done 3-4, but who knows? But the point is, this is
2-2. 3-3 is in less than 10 hours, and then 4-4 is on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's just, again, it's an opportunity for the Jets to wilt. But what have we seen from this Jets team is that they're not doing that. They're not doing what we've seen them do in the past, which is kind of let bad habits mm-hmm. get into their game and infect their game. And instead, what they're doing is they're playing fairly consistently. And the guys are, for the most part, I mean, there's, you know, it's hockey. There's always going to be some breakdowns, Ezzy. But for the most part, what we're seeing is guys, you know, playing consistent, playing, you know, like defensively responsible hockey. And, you know, knowing that, hey, we played last night. We played 3-4. We know we have a day off tomorrow, but we're not playing 4-minute shifts. We're not playing. I think, I don't know if Bailey was joking or not.
No, said, she wasn't. Jack Hughes had a 6-minute shift tonight.
Okay.
For your Devils, Ezzy, a 6-minute shift.
Yeah. So that I saw that in the chat. I didn't actually think that was real. I thought Bailey was maybe pulling our leg a little bit, but
it was
so
real.
Jack, I don't
even. So that must have obviously involved a power play.
I'm assuming it was like a major.
I haven't seen the details. Somebody else that knows the details can put it in the chat, but apparently he was on the ice for, it was a record, I think, since shift times have been tracked, you know, right, consistently. Somebody else who knows the details can put it in the chat and we'll throw it up on the screen.
6 minutes, like 3 minutes or 4 minutes is crazy. 6 minutes is like kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
6 minutes is wild.
Anyways, the point is that the Jets didn't allow the bad habits to seep into their game, and instead they mm-hmm. continued to play a consistent brand of hockey, which is exactly what you're supposed to do against the Chicago Blackhawks. But how many times last year, guys, did we say, this is what the Jets are supposed to do, but this isn't what the Jets did do? And this year, we're not saying that because they're doing the right things. So you have a little adversity in the game. Don't let it infect you. You keep on going, and eventually you take the lead. You know, you regain your 2-goal lead.
Just want to say one more thing on that goal. I think you guys probably, you know, saw this as well. The thing that was, and we've praised Axel Janssen-Fialbi all season long. He's been a great waiver wire pickup, right? He stopped the initial rush by Taylor Radish. Like, he made a really nice play by following him, stick checking him, and then Pionk didn't get the puck out, right? Like, he rimmed it around the boards, and then it was Kurashev, right, that put it on net. And then mm-hmm. Pionk kind of just was late to the play. But I just thought that was one of those kind of weird, funny things where Janssen-Fialbi actually like made a really nice defensive play to stop Radish on the initial rush. And then he kind of just lost him a little bit. And then, as Drew said, it was kind of weird. It got caught in his skates. So, I mean, again, the goal was inconsequential in the end, but just wanted to point that out there. Cause I thought, again, Janssen-Fialbi was solid tonight. It was just kind of one of those things that after he makes a really nice defensive play, kind of just a little bit of bad luck for him. But again, that was really the only high point for the Blackhawks, if you want to call it that, in this game.
Okay, so here's why Jack Hughes played had that 6 minute shift.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
He played the final 6 minutes and 2 seconds of the game for the New Jersey Devils. It's the longest shift since the NHL began tracking the stat in 2009-10. So the Devils were trying to get back into the game. They were down, I don't know if they were down 5-4 or 6-4 at that point.
They're playing the Islanders tonight, right?
They're playing the Islanders, and the Islanders won. So it was 6-4. So it was 6-4 with about 7 minutes to go in the game. Jack Hughes actually scored to make it 6-4. And then the Devils played the final 7 minutes and 36 seconds of the third period with the goalie pulled. And Hughes was on the ice for 6 minutes and 2 seconds of that 7:36. So okay, that's how you get a shift. Well, yeah. I don't know if it makes sense.
Well, but it doesn't make it. I guess it at least provides a little context.
Yeah, there's some context to it. Yeah, exactly.
I'll give you that one. 6 minutes and 2 seconds is not like Jack Hughes is one of the best players in the league, like young players in the league.
You don't even expect
like Connor McDavid Drew to play 6 minutes.
No. That's an insane length of time. I don't care what the circumstances are.
So like, how much Gatorade is Jack Hughes going to have to drink after this game?
No, I think you just hook him up to an IV to replenish his fluids at that point in time. The Jets make it 3-1 at the 12:25 mark. This is the game. This is the one that ends the game once and for all. You know, there were chances for the Jets to before this goal to make it 3-1 and extend that lead and make it a 2-goal lead. We mentioned David Gustafson and Morgan Barron right off a faceoff. They had a good chance. Mark Scheifele had a good chance. Adam Lowry gets his 6th of the season, assist to Jansen Harkins and Morgan Barron. And this is just a hardworking shift. It starts with Jansen Harkins getting the puck in deep, chip and chase, and he won the battle to get the puck, and then the cycle started, and the Jets did a great job. This trio did a really nice job cycling, and then Harkins finds Lowry, and Lowry makes no mistake with an absolute a bullet of a wrister to beat Arvid Soderblom to give the Jets the 3-1 lead, and that being, of course, the 3-1 final, Ezzy.
Yeah, and going back to what Dave said earlier about Adam Lowry, like, Lowry has been phenomenal on the PK, and he's one of the Jets' best physical players, but I think, you know, it really is a big part of the Jets' success right now. Like, Connor Hellebuyck, we've talked about that, even though he didn't play tonight. You know, Connor Hellebuyck is a huge reason why the Jets are first place in the Central. And that line, even though Saku Manalainen is out of the lineup, you know, that line has been phenomenal. And, you know, this is, you know, just as big of a goal for Jansen Harkins as it is for Adam Lowry. Because you're right, Drew. That was a beautiful pass. And, like, again, I don't want to steal, you know, Dave's Jansen Harkins spotlight, because Dave has been on the Jansen Harkins bandwagon since he was excelling for the Moose. But, you know, for a guy who not only gets sent down, but then gets called up, but then he's a healthy scratch, right? Because there's been a bit of a revolving door with, you know, Sam Gagne, you know, I guess you throw Dom Toninato in there, Axel Janssen-Fjällby, and then Jansen Harkins, right? So that's what I'm saying is, not only was that a huge goal in this game, it was for Harkins personally, you love to see that, right? You love to see Lowry bury that one, because it was a beautiful sauce pass. And you saw when they went to celebrate, like, you know, Lowry was like, okay, you know, Hark, that's all you, right? So you're right, Drew. That was the last goal. Nobody thought that the Hawks were coming back at that point. So again, like, that's everything's going right for the Jets, like Dave said, right? Like, everything last year, it was all about what the Jets aren't doing this right. This is what they need to be doing. Well, right now, it just seems like power play is firing on all cylinders. PK is good. You're getting the goaltending from Hellebuyck or Riddick, and then you're getting, you know, offense from whether it's the third line or the fourth line, right? So that was a huge goal, and I personally just love to see that from Harkins. You love to, I always have loved the underdog, and right now, Jansen Harkins is an underdog on the Jets.
He certainly is, and the underdog came through for the Jets on the third goal of the game for the team. That was the final goal, the final score, 3-1 Winnipeg over the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. The Jets improved to 10 wins, 2 losses versus their Central Division rivals. They improved to 18-7-1 overall this season, putting them tops in the Western Conference and tops as it pertains to point percentage, and tops, of course, in the Central Division as well. When we come back, we'll do the Illegal Curve merchandise, unique code word of the day, the tough duck, hardest hitting comment, and we'll announce the winner of the prize from last night's game. Much more to come. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post game show. We're live on a Friday night on our YouTube channel. Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and I'm your host, Drew Mindell.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsberg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code Illegal Curve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's GRYD Park. And use the code Illegal Curve. All one word. You'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
We are back. Friday evening, it's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mindell, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve hockey show, right back here on this YouTube channel. We trust that all of you fine folks who are joining us for this post-game show will join us again tomorrow morning at 9, and then again on Sunday evening following the Jets and the Washington Capitals. That should be about an 8:45 p.m. or thereabouts post-game show, as we'll recap the Jets and the Caps coming up tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from Jets at Noon on CJOB. Cam Poitras is going to join us. We're thrilled to welcome Cam to the show. And then at the bottom of hour number two, to talk about Sunday's opponent, the Washington Capitals, Samantha Pell of the Washington Post is going to join us to tell us all that's going on with the team from the U.S. Nation's Capital. Gentlemen, looking forward to another morning spent with you guys, and then an evening spent with you on Sunday. And then Monday, I am absolutely 100% blocking my phone from both of you, at least until Tuesday, because I think the next post-game show is Tuesday after Sunday.
Vegas.
If I'm not mistaken.
Vegas, right? Tuesday.
Monday's going to be like just self-care for the three of us.
That's right.
Like I'm self-care. Assuming we're all going to be doing like individual petties, individual massages, right? Like meditation, yoga, right? Like that's just going to be like, there's no other way we can survive this whole season unless we do self-care, right, guys?
I do self-care all the time. I'm a big fan of self-care. You got to, hey, you got to look after yourself before you can look after anybody else. You got to look after your own responsibilities, be they in the defensive zone or the offensive zone, before you can come to the, you can look out after your teammates' responsibilities, right?
Sure.
Is that an analogy that makes any sense at all, or am I just rambling incoherently?
Because Drew, some of us have to take care
of your own house before you go out into the
world. There you go. Big Daddy's got it.
That's right. As he's got the foundation problems, he's
fixing that foundation. I feel like I've been watching too many Jordan Peterson videos on social media.
Wow, that's dark. Didn't really expect you to go there, but whatever. No judgment. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment there, Mr. Ginsburg. Who's getting it on this Friday edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show?
Yeah, I sent it to you in the chat there, Drew. We're going to give it to Chris, Jets fan. Also, always want to thank everybody. Lively chat tonight. We love it. The Jets just continue to win. That's what we want to see. We want to see lots of people in the chat having a good time, keeping it respectful. So you've got it up there, Drew. Chris, Jets fan. Brenda, I just like this comment because it was a little bit different than some of the other comments. But Brenda Dillon may be the second most valuable member of this team. I think we know who number one is. Why, you ask? Because he has the back of all others, and they play more confidently with him on the ice. I mean, how many times have we seen that, right, guys? Like, you know, somebody has a hit, and it was, correct me if I'm wrong, last night's game, it was Mikey Essiemont, right? And Brendan Dillon stepped in, right, Dave?
Yeah.
And who was it? I'm trying to rack my brain and remember who it was that Brendan Dillon approached there. I can't remember, but regardless, I like this comment because Dillon, not only has he been, you know, really reliable defensively, he'll drop the gloves, or at the very least, like, he's willing to drop the gloves. And we all know that fighting's not as big of a part of the game. But I think, you know, you've got young players on this team like Cole Perfetti, or when Ville Heinola is in the lineup, or when Dylan Sandberg's in the lineup. And Brendan Dillon is that guy for the team. If you think about it, he kind of is Bufflin right now for this Jets team. And again, I'm not comparing the two, but I think he offers that. And Adam Lowry can drop the gloves too. The Jets have other guys that can drop the gloves. But regardless, I like this comment. It's the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment for tonight. So Chris, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into my DMs at ICSEG. And Tough Duck will send you a toque.
There you go. Big congratulations to Chris, Jets fan. Speaking of Dustin Bufflin, this coming out courtesy NHL Public Relations. Josh Morrissey with 5 goals and 25 assists and 30 points in 26 games played became the fastest defenseman in Jets 2.0/Thrashers franchise history to reach 30 points in a season, eclipsing the previous mark set by Dustin Bufflin with the Thrashers in 2010-11 when he had 10 goals, 20 assists, 30 points in 29 games played. So Morrissey setting the record in 26 games played, whereas Bufflin had it in 29 games played. Just emblematic of how good Josh Morrissey has been. Not that you needed any more evidence to that effect, but just how good Josh Morrissey has been for the Winnipeg Jets so far this season. Time for the unique code word of the day. This is for the Illegal Curve.
Nobody got it again. Sorry, folks. You ain't getting it.
Dave did a good job again. A credit to Dave M for making it a little bit more difficult than everyone thinks. So again, if you don't know how to enter the contest, where have you been this entire time? But here's how you do it. You hit the drop down arrow in the show description on YouTube. You follow the contest link there. It's pretty evident which link you got to click. Click that link. You'll see a whole bunch of ways that you can get extra entries and extra opportunities to get into the draw for the merchandise. If you can't find it on the YouTube page, go to our website, illegalcurve.com. Basically, click on any article on illegalcurve.com. You'll see the link that'll take you to the contest page. Do all those things. follow us on Twitter, put comments on our podcast page, leave comments, subscribe to the YouTube channel, whatever it tells you to do, do those things. You gain extra entries for doing so. And of course, we have a unique code word that we announce on the post game show. And when you enter in that unique code word, you get additional entries for the merchandise contest. Today, Dave M, the unique code word is Twinkie.
That's right.
Twinkie is the unique code word for the Illegal Curve merchandise contest for night. For tonight.
That's also what I had for dinner tonight, Drew.
I'm now, not why? Surprised. Yes, Dave. Why is the word Twinkie? Yeah.
Relevant. Well, because Twinkies were invented in Schiller Park, Illinois, in 1930 by James Alexander Dewar. Coincidentally,
that was when my 18th birthday was.
That's right. I was going to say back when Drew was a young man of 18. Alexander Dewar, by the way, James Alexander Dewar, was a Canadian-born baker. So I thought that was a nice little tie-in.
And as an aside, you can also go to any 7-Eleven location in Winnipeg, and you can find Twinkies from 1930.
All I'm saying is I knew, you know, people...
If you just go to the 7, you say you want the Ginsburg, they just give you the entire tray of Twinkies.
Well, they give you a rotten apple. They give you a rotten apple. Man. The point
I like how Dave, like, the last one was, what was it, St. Louis Kitchen?
That's right.
St. Louis Bread Co.
St. Louis Bread Co. Panera Bread.
Yeah.
The Bread Man, where the Bread Man's nickname comes from, right?
Correct.
Love the fact that Dave is, you know, kind of making this, he's making this like trivia historical. He's making these unique code words. You're learning a little bit about the city that the Jets are, the team they're playing. I like it.
With as this show keeps getting more and more educational, maybe we can apply for a grant from the government because we're educating the masses about Twinkies and Panera Bread. And you can't find that on just any random YouTube podcast show. I mean, you know, it's got to be a very niche show.
The post game show is all about your education, folks.
And I'd like to welcome our new sponsor, the Diabetes Association of Canada.
merchandise contest winner. So we did the random draw. And of course, we're pleased to announce the winner of the Winnipeg Jets authentic merchandise. Lisa Danko is the winner. Dave M, why don't you tell us a little bit about Lisa?
What do you mean? What do I know about Lisa?
That was funny. Actually very funny.
I'm thinking to myself, as soon as you were saying that, I'm like, where is he going with this? I don't know anything about Lisa. I mean, well, I'll tell you a little bit about Lisa. First of all, I know that Lisa's often in the chat, although I haven't seen her. Rob Mahoney saying Lisa's a good person, but Rob says that about everybody.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But I don't know that I haven't seen Lisa chatting tonight. I saw Lisa retweeted about the show. So I know we got a retweet from Lisa, which is a good sign, folks. Remember, retweeting is big. That's how you get votes. But so I don't see that Lisa's in the chat right now, which is a shame because it's funny. And so just as a little sidebar, I got a chance to meet two of our winners today, giving them their Illegal Curve merch. They both were jersey winners. And one of them was Tracy, who we see in the chat quite a bit. There's Lisa.
She's here.
Lisa's in the chat. And Lisa, you are our winner.
Congrats, so Lisa.
Congrats to Lisa. Everybody congratulate Lisa on her big win. And I got a chance to meet two of the winners today and give them their Illegal Curve merch. One was a Heritage Classic jersey. The other was, as you saw, they tweeted at us thanking us because we completed their set. They now have all the Jets jerseys. And then, of course, Tracy, who's often in the chat and always has been a big, long-time Illegal Curve.
Tracy's an icy day one.
She's like a lifer. So she's
icy lifer.
She's been big with IC, and so I gave her jersey today. And I've got, don't worry, Spencer. I'm getting all, there's a lot. I'm trying to do it in sections of the city and trying to hit.
I just want to know if Spencer's still here and if he's, I saw earlier Spencer. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was having a few vodka freezies.
Well,
DM Spencer and head over to his house after.
Ezzy, you're coming with me. When I go to, there's three houses that are in a nice little section. I'm gonna be hitting that up. I'm taking Ezzy with me so Spencer can meet Ezzy. That's his spirit animal, his partner in crime, if you will. But anyways, congratulations. Let's focus on Lisa. Congratulations, Lisa. Thank you very much for participating in the Illegal Curve contest. We appreciate it. Chance to win. You know, great gear from Illegal Curve. And all you have to do to participate is do things like be in the chat, check our YouTube channel, go to illegalcurve.com, leave a comment on our podcast. That's huge on iTunes if you can. We really appreciate that. And like I said, I try and add new things that you can do in terms of retweeting us and all that other stuff.
Well, Lisa says she's in Lockport, which means that we might have to make a trip, and we're gonna.
That's not an issue. Lockport isn't an issue.
I'm fine. I'm saying we're gonna have to. We might have to debate between Skinner's and Half Moon. That'll be the decision.
Well, as an aside,
now you're talking, Drew.
So during last year,
I thought that would appeal to you, Ezzy.
Half Moon instituted a fun little drive-in last year. They had quite the little thing in Half Moon. I usually will go to Skinner's, but Half Moon had a fun little back door.
Yeah, you got to go around the back of the building.
Yeah, right? A little drive-through, and they had the people on the outside. It was fun. It was a good time.
In Lockport, you're not too far from Edmonds Country either in St. Andrews.
Well, we do. For the record, I will be doing a drop-off in East St. Paul, and if I'm already on route in my way to East St. Paul, because that's not that far from my office, I probably will just keep on going to Lockport. And, you know, guys, when I'm in Lockport, we might call our friend Red River Cats, get him to drop the fishing castle, the ice castle, if you will, on the ice, because IC is going to be doing a show from there. So probably it'll be a Saturday show, I'd imagine, but we'll see. Yeah, that wouldn't that be great, actually? We did the show while ice fishing and then just told everybody to come and made it a big party.
Dave M's thinking, look at that brain of yours always working there, Dave M. It is an impressive feat, as per usual. Congratulations to Lisa, the winner of the Illegal Curve merchandise contest. And of course, congratulations to Chris Jets fan, the winner of the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Sorry, Drew, just quick question. Zin was asking, because Zin's newbie here, he or she was saying, how far are you outside of the city? Are you willing to go? Well, that's a good question. In the summer, Dave M has no problems going pretty much anywhere in southern to central Manitoba. I'll go anywhere, especially if it's Ride Mountain, Duck Mountains, Turtle Mountains, White Shell, Spirit, you know, Spruce Woods. I'll go anywhere. But anyways, to answer your question, the Morden, the Winklers.
Yes, to answer your question, East St. Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say East St. Paul. I'll go to Winnipeg Beach. Probably go to Gimli if I have to. See my parents' cottage, and then I probably would limit it to Lockport.
I'll take Lac de Bonnie. I'll take
yeah, Ezzy's got the Lac de Bonnie.
I'll take Eastman. Drew will take Pemina Valley. You can have, you know, Interlake. Like, we'll divide it all up.
Okay, that sounds good. But yeah, I mean, but anyways, I think it was Wynn. Just if you want to know how to enter, there's no charge to enter. It's all free. All you have to do is just put in your email and your name and your age, and you're good to enter, and then follow all the different things that you can do. Like I said, go to the website. Come to our YouTube channel, go to our Instagram. You can follow our Instagram. That's even better. And then subscribe on this channel. You don't have to, for the record, to answer your original question, you do not have to be, I think it was Rob actually asked this. You do not have to be a subscriber, but I'm just not going to wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you're not a subscriber, I don't know. Maybe I hit the repick winner button. Just saying, folks, be a subscriber.
Well, apparently Pooh Stain lives in Thompson. My sister-in-law actually goes there and works up there every once in a while, but
I've always wanted to drive up to Thompson because I want to go to Pisu Falls. So I'm definitely
Pustain Falls.
No, not to Pustain Falls. Although apparently there's an amazing falls in Manitoba called the Coca-Cola Falls, which I've never been to, but I definitely want to get up to there. So
Drew's is officially unhinged.
The fact that you said that and Dave didn't bat an eye, didn't interrupt his thought at all to respond to your comment there was just, I mean, remarkable is what that was. I mean, I have nothing left at this point in time, and I have to do this all over again with you guys in like 9 hours. So, I mean, I got nothing after that one where you said, what about Pustain Falls, Ezzy? I just lost it. That's it. I'm done.
I think we've gone way too far here today. I think it's time to wrap her up.
Well, Ezzy, Hatchet Harry's back, so we could do some snatch / lock, stock, and two smoking barrel comments. But yeah,
only if there's vodka freezies involved.
Hatchet Harry, I definitely want to check out. There's definitely a lot of places there. Oh yeah, right, Setting Lake. I've heard about that one as well. Might do an ice fishing show.
I can't do anymore. We got to. That's too much. Big thank you,
By the way, hold on.
13 and a half years for Drew.
By the way, Kenny's water bottle wants to know if Pustine from Thompson knows Brown Streak from Flin Flon.
A big
thank you. And that's it. The show's over.
We're done. A big thank you to everyone for joining us this evening on the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Jets win 3-1. We'll talk about it more tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. with the Illegal Curve hockey show back here on our YouTube channel. The Ice win tonight as well. The Moose, less so. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's Manuk Moose Minute. They got pumped. They lost by a touchdown, 7-0. They lost in Abbotsford. So Dave M will have all the latest on that tomorrow on the show, as well as on the website, IllegalCurve.com. A big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show. I'm pretty sure our sponsors are all canceling their contracts with us immediately after that last segment, who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zapia Group Realty, Betway, they're the official title sponsor of this here Illegal Curve post-game show. Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve hockey. Big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. This was a fun one. The Jets victorious 3-1 over the Chicago Blackhawks. For Dave M, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We'll see you in about 9.5 hours, 9 a.m. Saturday for the Illegal Curve hockey show back here on our YouTube channel. Until then, from all of us to all of you, we wish you a good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.